CliffCentral.com.
If you were wondering where Yaku and the team were yesterday on Unbundled, they decided, we decided for them that they weren't going to come into the studio yesterday, so they will catch up with you again next week. All things being equal, lots of stuff had to be put on hold this week, right? So I think a lot of people figuring things out.
Oh, man, it's still there.
Yeah. Myself and the Yenters where I live, we've had to, this is hard, Gareth, don't laugh. We've obviously had to switch our Woolworths from the one we were normally at.
No.
Yeah. So I don't want to reduce what the people in the KZN largely are going through, but we've now had to move from the one Woolworths, which is equidistant to the other one. It's just now the view is actually not as good to the other one. So, you know, we're all going through it. And as every single douchebag, like me who lives in middle class society says, we're all in it together, which we are not, by the way. The things that are happening in KZN are awful. Just
by the way, I mean, we heard this, we're all in this together thing at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns. But I'm curious, like, have you been asked to join any neighborhood watch groups in your Yenta riddled area?
You know what? I mean, I chat and walk with the girls anyway, so we don't need to get on the group thing, because Gail doesn't like Elon, and it's just it's a mess. So, you know,
people are fighting anyway. Yeah. Oh my God. All right. As I said a little earlier, we are going to be joined by Meg Forer, who is from PlaySense, which is a business where they're trying to help parents who are, just, I suppose you could say, sick of their kids, but who are being relied upon to be parents, teachers, babysitters, and have to work very much of the time. It's a tough job being a parent right now, and the school holidays probably seem interminable to most parents.
Come on, it's always been a tough job being a parent.
That's true. But if your kids are only going back on the 25th and you're watching that calendar thinking, how the hell am I going to survive? Maybe Meg will be able to help you with Playbox, which is her business. And what they do is they give you some activities that you and your kids can do this school holiday. And obviously, there's a certain age range here, but we'll talk to Meg about that a little bit later on, hopefully. That'll help us.
Yeah. Speaking of loved ones and obviously this putting people under pressure, let me I got the most electrifying phone call from somebody I've known for, let's say, 18, 19 years last night. He's made me very mad over the last 2 years because he was, cheating is a strong term, but he was certainly, extracurricular activities on the side, and he knows my rule. Don't tell me. Like, my thing is, you know what? I'm not a moralist. The world is the world. Is don't tell me, because then you put me in a situation. I don't like to lie. I don't like to lie when people tell me. And we're close, and I know his lady. But last night he called me, and he's back at his old stuff again. And he said, you know, part of making the relationship work in lockdown is the fact that they're away from each other quite a lot. He said, but now she's with them all the time. He said, no, his words are, you can't eat chicken every day, verbatim. But what? And I was like, yeah, no, it's, and they've been together for like 7 years.
Now, I know what your rule is. You don't like your friends to tell you when they've been partaking in extracurricular activities, because then it drags you in. But now you're in. What are you going to do? So what's your advice to
him? He's telling us.
In fact, I'm totally in, because yesterday, he wasn't answering, because he's phoning me from the other lady's house, by the way.
Oh God.
To kind of, now he's trying to ease his guilt and saying, yeah, you won't believe what happened, but hey, you can understand. You know what I mean, bro? I'm like,
are you
why?
Sure you still have a friend after this?
Well, you can't choose. Like, well, what do you do? If your mom was to cheat on your dad, well, what do you do? Change families. You don't it's not a soccer team. You don't transfer. You know, he's been there for me for 18 years, and he's at the very core been sensational for me as an actual friend. And now, yeah, this behavior, but now I hate it. But I am wondering on a serious level how people are doing, because I would imagine not just parent to children. I mean, this part of a relationship may be working is people are at work, you know, you're busy with stuff, and then you come back together at 6 o'clock in the evening. But now that's kind of gone, and you're seeing your, because most of us don't really ever see the full spectrum of our partners. I was thinking about this after the phone call. We only get the highlights, right? Work, morning, kids, sports events, Saturdays, you know, there's stuff to take them away from you. So you're not always experiencing every single idiosyncrasy they have. I just wonder how couples are managing now. It must be brutal. It must be absolutely brutal for people.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big story at the moment is now all of this, this violence and looting and criminal behavior that we see in mostly KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. But for many people now, this has been a year and a half or maybe even longer for some people that they've been in lockdown mode. And that comes with all of its challenges, which we've discussed on the show a million times. But for me, I mean, the longest relationship I've ever been in is like 2.5 years. And we're really rapidly approaching that sort of timeline now for people who started lockdown romances. Remember when that was something we talked about? It was like a flippant thing. You're like, oh, you know, we're going to be locked down for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I think I can handle 2 weeks of someone living with me. And well, 3 days in, people were ready to give up. I don't know.
Apparently,
don't know.
Violence escalated in families. and divorces.
Yeah, sadly, in this country, that's not really the funniest thing in the world because it comes with all kinds of ugliness. But, you know, there are people who they thought it would be fine. Oh, no, this will be a quick thing and we'll try it out. This is exciting. It's a different way of doing things. I'll move in with you and we'll see what happens. It's not going well for some people. And when Bolelo talks about his friend who's now, you know, let's say cheating.
That's strong, allegedly.
But that sounds like a serial thing.
No, it's only the second time in 8 years.
That's way too much.
Oh, is that too much? Okay. Oh.
So unless the woman has the right to do the same thing. You see, I'm all for that. I'm going like, yeah, you want to do that? Can we discuss this so that we have the kind of playing field that is that's open? Go back. I'm trying to do something with this background. So if the woman can do that, then good. Then the man can do that, you know, to his heart's content, but give the woman her option as well.
What do you suggest here, Shemaine? Because I think Mbulelo is actually asking for advice from us. I think he's trying to figure out a way to do the right thing for his friend without moralizing and without interfering. But at the same time, he doesn't really want to be involved. Am I right, Mbulelo? You want out of this. You don't want to be the person who's being called on.
You know what? I don't care about the morality of the situation. I'm a very selfish person. I care about myself. Now you're putting me in a position where she's texting me last night because you're not answering the phone. Just say, oh, have you heard from him? Like now I have to ignore her call and it's a thing for me. I'm a bachelor. I choose this life. I choose not to have such things. And now you putting on my plate. Like, I don't want that. But in a very real sense is think of the people that were in we must know, all of us must know at least one couple that were in relationship counseling before this. Let's not take it to the extreme.
Imagine what this
has done in terms of a negative way for them. I imagine
maybe he wants you to tell her and therefore he tells you because you tell him, don't tell me that. That is for me, that is like, I'm telling you so you could tell her because he knows that you don't care for this bullshit and you need. So tell her and tell him, I'm going to tell your wife and then see what he does. If he still tells you, you've got your answer.
Let me tell you something. Don't ever be in that position.
That's well thought through.
No, I once did that. I will never again pick a side in this situation. I once was in that situation and I told the girlfriend because I thought, oh, this is wrong. Then they got back together. Guess what? Now she's saying, now he's thinking, oh, you're not even a good mate. You would tell on me. And now she's back with him and that friendship ended. I will never again because people, no, not me. No, Shemaine, I will never.
But then they were
not
again. Really your friends. Then they were never really your friends. So good that you without them. Because if it's a friend will say like, okay, let's approach this. Gareth's word holistically.
that was a 15-year friendship with a friend ruined like that because of what happened there, where I went and told her, and then they got back together, and then now I'm the guy who wanted it to happen. Well, yeah, man.
Here's advice from someone who wants to give it to you straight up. 59 says, Mbulelo. The guilt is eating at his soul and his balls. He needed to tell someone, and you were that person. You're his best mate. Act like one.
What does that mean, act like that?
Well, funnily enough, we covered this on Monday with Dr. Hanna. We were talking
I heard that conversation. I ask, what does that mean? Because I know you guys have the background to it.
We had Mark Sham on as well, and we were talking about how guys have a different way of helping each other out and of correcting each other's bad behavior and or giving each other advice. They do it in private. So, I mean, I know you're the kind of guy who doesn't mess around. You don't bullshit people. So you need to sit down with him and explain that this is now becoming your problem and it's not fair of him to make it your problem. And you need to say to him, if you want my advice on how you're behaving, here it is. If you don't want my advice on how you're behaving, just tell me to stop and I'll shut up. I don't need to give this to you anymore. Mm-hmm. But this is what I think is going to happen. And then you step away and you let him make it.
Yeah, he needs to be a mate as well. So, dude, if Mbulelo is going to have to be a mate, that friend has to be a mate as well because he's putting him on the spot in a really, correct, really difficult situation. It's not nice to have that information. We've all been there, you know.
What are you expected to do with it?
It's very annoying to put you in this position.
I don't think, as much as this conversation is interesting, there's so much going on at the moment that I feel we're almost, we're like ostriches with our heads in the sand. I just got this message from Nicholas who says, thank you and the team for making me smile this morning. I've been barricaded in my bedroom after a night of nonstop gunfire and explosions in the distance, the smell of burning and the sound of sirens. I'm not easily traumatized, but I'm well and truly freaked out at the moment. Thank you for bringing some normal into my world, even if it's only for a few hours. I'm over this shit. Cheers. You know, this is very difficult. I also got an email from somebody who says that Durban in the last 48 hours has been really, really scary. This person says, I've been on tour in Iraq and two tours in Afghanistan in an 11-year career in the British Army from 2004 to 2015. And the people who know me know I don't overplay the situation. Civilians are fighting on the front line in KZN. I'm not sure if the situation is the same in Gauteng, but the police are overwhelmed in my hometown. The six SANDF personnel that they sent to Durban North are overwhelmed. Ordinary men and women who've stood shoulder to shoulder, untrained to protect their communities, are exhausted. People hide in their homes scared. Some in the suburbs try to go along with their day as normal as possible to try and not let it overwhelm them. But people have expanded their networks and expended all their private ammunition in the past 2 days. They've worked together to get restocked, but even those supplies are running low. Gun shops open at their own risk to help us where they can and when it's moderately safe, but we're constrained by abiding by the law and only using the licensed firearms that we have. Fuel pumps are running dry. Food shops cannot open due to the unrest. The main supply routes have been attacked, so trucks can't get into the province with supplies. And yet, no support comes. Why has the government not stepped up to stop the madness? So I think that's a really good point being made by this person who's emailed me, who I will keep anonymous for obvious reasons.
That's what we've all been asking. Why isn't government stepping up?
It's really unacceptable that, you know, the government are allowing ordinary citizens to suffer through this when this is the job of the military. This is the job. This is why we pay a government. One of the only things they're there to do is to make sure that you and I are kept safe from the predation of criminals and outlaws. That is the whole reason to have a government.
Yeah.
The second reason we have a government is to enforce our rights, our property rights, our rights to life, our rights to dignity, our rights to safety, all of those things. So if they're not ticking those two boxes, then you, guess what? You don't have a government. Then you are already living in anarchy, in which case don't pay your taxes. Immediately stop doing that and stop doing the things that government needs from you in order to make it work for them. Because if they're not helping you, there's no reason to help them. Really, it's absolutely frightening. Dogos are saying the situation is wild here in KZN. It's quite overwhelming, to be honest.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you guys, because now, obviously, after this, a lot of people are going to be out of work. We know, you know, there's this whole snowball. Do you guys think that break-ins are going to
go up,
treble and quadruple. Yeah. And because this makes, to me, I'm going like, people are going to, there's going to be so many break-ins. We are going to reel from it. We thought people are breaking in now. We thought people are, you know, taking from us now. But after this, there are going to be so many people without work, you know, because I mean, one person often would feed 10 people in a household. That's going to fall away now. So what's going to happen? I'm just thinking.
Well, I mean, all that's going to happen, Shemaine, is that the bad people are going to become much more brazen because they see that law enforcement doesn't work, right? I mean, the only thing in a civilized society that keeps criminals at bay is a police force that's sharp and that does its job. That's it.
It's been said by a great, yeah. And you know, as South Africans, sometimes we're quite flippant about rules and the law, and we always say, "Oh, it's kind of cool. You can flirt in between." And some bloke a long time ago, I think his name was Aristotle, and he said, "Law is order, and good law is good order." And we are paying the price for not having good order before. And I know we always like, "Oh, South Africa's kind of cool, man. You can get away with it." This is the price I know it's brutal for some people that are in it right now to hear it, but there is no better time to probably be this brutal. This is the time to say, this is why you need order. Because if there was order before, and this is what rules are for. People always think rules are for when things are going well. Rules are not for to make things go well. And rules are for when things go wrong, you have a system to fall back on. Now, like the erosion of our system.
You, when you get married, you don't sign a prenup because you're happy and you're about to get married. You sign a prenup because you know things might get bad and this is what you'll have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope we start to take this more seriously, especially where we are closer to the sanctums of power, where we live, is we need to take these things seriously and organize because this is what happens. And listen, the Caesar said, "Are those barbarians at my gate?" Because we always think that living in our lovely estates. And until Caesar actually had the barbarians at his gate and he was asking, was it Brutus, Gareth? "Are those the barbarians at my gate after Rome hadn't been, the walls of Rome hadn't fallen in how many thousand years?" Is your estate, it's very comfortable for us to constantly go, "Ah, we can make our own laws, we can manage ourselves," until the proverbial barbarians are at the gate. And they will come if we don't take this seriously and take this as a teaching moment to say, "Genug now at the top."
I agree, but there is only so much that ordinary citizens can do. And I've got to give all the praise that I have to ordinary citizens who are stepping up at the moment and doing what they can. And that email that I just read, refers to those precise people. But there's only so much those people can do against a rampaging mob of crazy, just crazy criminal lunatics. And the government has to step up and protect its citizens now. And that means either declaring a state of emergency and just going full tilt with the military, martial law, even if that's necessary. I never thought in my lifetime I'd have to be calling for martial law. But if that's the case, because with martial law, if you see someone with a TV, you shoot them. That's what happens. Martial law allows the government to take some fairly severe and dramatic action.
So are you proposing a state of emergency?
Well, I'm not, because I don't trust this government, frankly. You know, this is the problem. I'm also, and that's why I wrote my article. It's you know, I titled it "Between a Rock and a Hard Place," because as much as we need the government to take control, this government has shown itself incapable of doing that, even in the good times. So how good are they going to be in the bad times?
How long until the weapons turn on the government, do you think? Because people poor people aren't stupid. Sometimes, I do this. I did it with my security guard yesterday. Is sometimes you think if somebody is poor, they are less intelligent. People are not stupid. No, just because they're poor. Is at some stage, we've seen this. It happened in France. We've seen it before throughout history. How long until the weapons turn from the civil society on the government? I think people are fed up of now going to rob. I think South Africans are now tired of, "No, man, it's not just the white people. It's not just the rich people. And men, young man, you guys still have BMWs there. You're still earning your full salary. We've never seen anything of you suffering." Okay, so it's not the white people. It's not the ones living. No, man, let's talk again. And then I don't know if we're too far away from, I'm not calling for it. I'm saying union buildings having the proverbial guillotines at the step.
You better be sure not to call for it, because that would be
no. I'm not saying that.
If you do say that, that's
he'll go to jail. Garrett's going to miss you. He'll be fried.
Yeah. And I do not speak for the people, to be very clear. So I'm just wondering, and what I'm observing, and some of the things I'm hearing, reading, people are speaking more about the beloved ANC and these guys more than what I used to see. And I think, Charmaine, you put it beautifully. We're less divided on that racial sort of economic lines in these testing times. And I think that's a great thing. We all need to focus at where the real problem is rather than the symptoms, the core of the problem. We have to call it the ANC for now. Yeah.
The disillusionment is real.
Mm.
Mm. So,
and I mean, plus I've had to change Woolworths, imagine. Charmaine, I don't know if you caught that. I've had to go to another Woolworths as well in all of this. So,
come on.
To do what? I didn't catch.
No, our other Woolworths is closed.
Local Woolworths is closed.
I love it. Well, when I say I love it, I'm saying that with respect. No, because you can choose, you know, and that we should all be able to choose, you know. Go ahead.
I got some videos yesterday from friends of mine who are in KZN, and you know, there are people lining up at the fish shops.
They couldn't go to Woolworths.
No. It's serious.
I'm sorry.
There are people lined up at the one or two shops that are open, and queues are like 300 or 400 people deep, and that's not funny. That's the kind of thing where you think, oh God, all right. Because look, most of us don't have huge vegetable gardens we can rely on. When our fridge is empty, when the pantry is empty, then we don't have food. That's a serious situation to be in. No matter who you are, let's not talk about soft people in the suburbs. Some of these people are not soft. Some of these people, like the email I just read, some of these emails come from people who have been in Afghanistan and Iraq. They're not soft people, okay? They depend on a civilized society to operate around them for things like food, no matter what they've been doing in their lives, no matter how it looks like. They're just ordinary old citizens. These people know how to operate and they know how to handle themselves. They just happen to be stuck in a situation that isn't of their making, which they didn't expect to happen. I mean, 2 weeks ago, nobody expected any of this to happen. So you've got to be a little bit forgiving and understanding.
We didn't. We thought that's rubbish. Nobody will do that. Yeah. I mean, there were rumors, but we were like, rubbish. You know, why would that even? So you're right.
Rick is here this morning. How people in town are worried and impacted now, he says. Imagine farmers have been sitting with the barbarians at the gate for many years now. Lol, if they act, they get criticized. And that has happened. We've spoken about it on the show before, where people were saying, ah, please, the farmers, they're overreacting. Gareth, there are two people we haven't heard from in a while. Can you reach out to Sivengesi and Justice Malala? Please see what you can do. That's from Carl. Actually, we are going to talk to Siv. He's, I think he might even be joining us next week. So hang around for that. He'll be on. Mfundo Dlala says, this is our Mfundo, Cliff Central Mfundo. He says, the spa in Hillcrest, Durban next to me opened yesterday and we went home with nothing. Completely sold out of all needed products. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Oh, my God.
You know what the thing about South Africans is, and I'm not just trying to be glib, and is that I bet you, give it a week and a half, two, I bet you they will start, South Africans will figure out their own network of how to operate foods. Farmers will come together with the community, and not on economic lines, because this is what South Africans just do, and I'm not saying it glibly, we've been doing it. This government has left us on our own and we've been figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And I know the Durbanites are suffering now. I bet you they're going to figure it out. I just know they are because we've been doing it.
They will. So apparently, according to B, the police minister, that's Becky Kele, has said he knows who's behind instigating this. So who do we think it is? I mean,
if they know, bring the people.
Tell us, like, take us into your confidence, because then we can be allies to you. Mm. You know, if your control of the country is slipping out of your hands,
this fucking secrecy, this shit of secrecy, I cannot deal. Yeah. I cannot deal. You know, we are treated like children when it's convenient. You know, so tell us. There are so many secrets here. I mean, and that's why we're in some of this mess, because this one doesn't want to split on the other one. It's like it's a frat, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's a special kind of grouping that goes like, no, we can't talk about that. No, we can't. And this, do you know what gets my goat?
Go on. I like when you get
this
upset.
This thing when people go, don't do that. I want to see I want to see the two of you. This thing when people say that we're having a family meeting. The president calls a family meeting. That hurts me so because it's never a family meeting. And you know, the other day when the shit hit the fan, how long did we wait? The whole day for him to speak. For a family meeting. No, we should call this a family fight, you know, because we need to be able to get in there so that it's not just a delivered speech, you know, very measured, very proper. I hate it when they call this the president's coming into our lounges. There's no family meeting. It's only one person speaking. Took him hours to say to us that the country's on fire, you know, and tomorrow we will do something about it.
Yeah.
Amen. And then tomorrow came and nothing happened.
Get your Amen. Act together. Amen. Amen.
Now, but so don't guys, you guys find this family meeting bullshit nonsense?
Yay. Listen, if my school report came back awful, which it always did, my father dealt with that thing. He called everyone now. I'm in the middle of the day. There's a disaster now. Now, by the way, we want to show you what an incompetent person looks like and what happened. Right. You don't wait. No, man.
Even though you're
well said, Charmaine, man. Well, no, really well said. Beautifully put.
We have to change gear quickly and talk. I've been talking about Meg Flora for a while, and we're going to find out about PlaySense and also this PlayBox. I know there are a lot of parents who, quite apart from all the other stuff that's going on, are struggling to keep their kids entertained and keep them stimulated. And of course, we're going through a long winter school holiday. They've extended it. The third wave has made the president extend it to the 25th or so. And it's going to be a real challenge for parents of preschoolers in particular, who have to adapt to homebound indoor activities. Having your little one at home for the entire holidays can be pretty daunting for any parent. And there are only a certain number of opportunities you have to ramble and play outside. And many parents are wondering how they're going to cope. So I thought we'd try and help you out this morning in whatever way we can. And let's welcome Meg Fora, who is the founder of PlaySense, to talk to us about igniting your kids' super senses. So, hey, Meg, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. And you, Gareth? Good to see you all.
Yeah, hey. There's so much insane shit going down all over the place. It's good to actually talk about something where we can do something. And I first of all got to congratulate you on filling a gap, because there are so many parents at the moment who are so frustrated for all the obvious reasons. Tell us about, first of all, your company, PlaySense, and then tell us about the PlayBox.
So PlaySense was originally pre-COVID, you know, kind of BC times. We were a micro school program. So we sent children into, we sent teachers into children's homes to look after up to six children. So it was a play group for 2 to 5 year olds in a home, controlled environment. You know, it was kind of a sane world. And come March last year, obviously all of our play groups had to close overnight. And at the time we thought it was just going to be for a couple of weeks. But what we did anyway was that we kind of pivoted it into a online program. So we delivered activities to our parents, and then our teachers would actually zoom into their rooms or into their houses twice a day and kind of guide the parents through the playing with their kids and also entertain the children a little bit. So that's kind of what PlaySense is all about historically.
Cool. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not a perfect science. You know, I mean, one of the things with 2 to 5 year olds, and it's very different when you get into primary school education and high school education, we've, you know, kind of the education tech system or the ed tech environment has kind of got that one covered because children can learn through screens. But for little children from 2 to 5 years old, it's a real challenge because parents didn't sign up to have their kids at home with them all day while they were trying to juggle work. You know, I mean, that's a really complicated world.
I mean, holding their attention is almost impossible. I mean, I know I've got two little nephews. One is 7 and one is 5. But the younger one, like, you try and keep him focused on anything for more than 5 minutes. It's impossible.
No, I mean, if you look at all the research coming out worldwide, I mean, it's horrific for parents and particularly women. I've actually taken the knock here where, you're at home, you've got to continue your jobs, but somebody's got to entertain the children. Somebody has to educate them. And so keeping them occupied, keeping them focused and actually just keeping yourself sane when you've got a 2 to 5 year old at home is a proper challenge. And then you're trying to get on with work and do Zooms. You know, it's a crazy world.
Paraphrasing here, Meg, but that you have to teach parents how to play with their children. One would expect that kind of almost comes naturally. What methods do you use? And I mean, when is a parent not able or in the mindset to be able to you know, just take the child and play with him? What do they need to do then?
Yeah, I mean, you've actually hit on two aspects of it. The one aspect is that for many of us as adults, we've actually forgotten how to play. You know, the world has become so goal-driven, you know, tick every box, you know, go through the motions. And play is anything but that. Play is spontaneous. Play is engaged. Play is in the moment. And so part of just the way that we live our lives means that we've forgotten how to play. So there's the piece about helping parents to actually find the playfulness inside of them. But the other part is that when you're stressed and when things are going down, like things are going down at the moment in South Africa and in the world, you actually don't know how to play because you don't want to be spontaneous. So, you know, coming alongside parents and supporting them to look after their little ones, be in the moment and actually, you know, A, keep their children entertained, B, give them a bit of education is really what it's all about for us.
So basically you're saying to parents, relax. So in the parent relaxing, it bleeds into the child's space and then the child becomes loose and playful. Because it is so that when, and I mean, they kind of like almost, they like animals. They get the emotional spaces that we in, you know. So because if we don't enjoy being with them, they basically don't enjoy being with us.
Yeah, it's more than just relaxing. I think if parents have some sort of guideline as to what to do. So one of the things that we did when COVID last year, we turned it around and we said, we're going to give you two activities every day, just two simple things. We're not going to push the limits here. We're just going to give you little parameters within which you can play. And that was what we did initially last year. And that was it was a paid for product and we were just supporting parents. This year, it's totally different because we've decided to give it completely for free because we just can see that parents, they just need to have one or two activities to do every day that they can structure their day around. So they know that at 10 o'clock in the morning, when they take a break from their business meetings, or whatever it is, they can do this activity with their child. And that's what the play box is about.
So joining and being part of it is free, but then you still have a kit that you need to buy. Is that still the case?
Yeah, so you don't have to buy the kit. So basically what you do, it's completely for free. We send you, and it's not exactly the same as our original curriculum. Our original curriculum was actually delivered on an electronic portal. So we're not giving parents access to the electronic portal. What we're doing is we send them a book once a week. So it's a little, it's an electronic, obviously, format book, PDF, and it's got two activities for every day according to a theme. So this week's theme might be the bug theme, and next week might be the jungle theme, and you just get two activities every day. And that you can do, and the stuff we use, you don't really need to have the kit to be able to do it. You can do it with, you know, things from your supermarket if your supermarket was open. But
give me an example, because this sounds terrific. But I mean, I'm trying to picture it now. Is there a simple example you can give us from like the one that you put out yesterday or something we'd understand?
So there would be something like if the theme was bugs, there'd be something about building a little beehive. So you might have a little empty egg box container. You're going to paint it yellow, turn it into a little bit of a beehive, and you're going to put little bees into the hive. So it's a very simple activity. The parents generally, it's not rocket science, but we do also guide you as to how to improve language, how to improve pre-math skills. So we have the little skills coming through as well. So it's educational as well as just keeping your child entertained. The actual play box is different. You can buy that separately. So that's the little kit, but you don't have to buy that.
You know, I
love that there's structure, you know, so especially when the parents' head is all over the place, you know exactly where you're going to and what you're going to focus on. So that already is a help.
When I was a kid, I was probably impossible too. My mother used to, she'd give us this book, which was like a bunch of things you could do and make. And I mean, we went through that book within the first week of a school holiday. And then from there on, we were screwed. So then she'd say, just go outside and play. Obviously, you can't do that now while it's very, very cold. And for many people, there isn't an outside to go to. You know, especially at the moment, it's not necessarily the best idea in the world to go and play in the street. So for a lot of kids, that boredom sets in, and there's nothing worse for a parent than, I imagine, there are lots of things that are terrible, but there's nothing worse if you're in an irritable place and you're trying to do some work and your kid keeps coming in and going, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored.
These
days, for most parents, the default is a screen anyway. It's TV or it's games or it's something like that. That's not necessarily the best solution.
No, and that's why, you know, I mean, there are two things about particularly the toddler brain. They need sensory engagement and social engagement. Those are the two things that wire the human brain at that age. And so, you know, the activities will give them the sensory engagement. And then obviously getting a bit of one-on-one time with mom and or dad also then gives them the emotional engagement. What we found is that there's, you know, you can kind of stage your day. And this is a practical way that parents can do it now in lockdown because they're trying to do their Zooms, kids at home. Set aside two slots in the day, and particularly if you're both at home, probably you are, one take the morning slot, one take the afternoon slot, and say that's activity time, let's say, and do our activities. And then in addition to that, we've actually got our online teachers, our teachers who usually do teach online, are entertaining the children twice a day as well. That's also free. So all you do is you'll get the register from us every day that says, Teacher Joan is on with a puppet show today at 2 o'clock. And so then you turn on your screen, and admittedly it is screen time, but it's a different type of screen time to TV, where TV is very much just ingesting. This is more engagement. So you'd set up your computer, they go online with Joan or whoever it is who's doing story time that day. So we've got like various times of the day where we are keeping little ones entertained.
Well, here's
until Karen. When is this?
Sorry, Shemaine. Karen says, I bought the PlaySense box out of desperation, says Karen, as our 21-month-old is at home. Went to the PlaySense group, which is great, but it ends at 12:30, so it doesn't help me after that, and I'm stuck in work from 8 to 5. Well, Karen, we can't solve all your problems, but I'm glad that it managed to take care of some of them.
But it was a help. So the one side is you helped, you know.
Yeah. What Karen's talking about there is she's actually the PlaySense group she joined is our in her micro school group. I'm presuming. I don't actually know Karen. So our in-home micro school groups run from 8 until 12:30. And so the parents that join that usually are parents who've got a nanny at home who can collect their little one around midday. So that's the one piece. The play box is obviously you do it in your own time. And it is only two activities. It's not going to entertain your kid the whole day, but it's just a little piece to get a bit of sanity. But I'm really glad that made a difference.
Until when are you running this? Sorry.
So the actual play box is a 4-week program. So the idea was, I mean, obviously we all saw the third wave coming. And so we said to our team, let's get something together that's completely free of charge, just gets parents in and just kind of is a quick fix for those 4 weeks. And so we actually thought lockdown would start about a week before holidays, which it did. We thought it would run through holidays. And I predict it probably will go another week or so after holidays. So we're going to get a good 4 weeks in there. Yeah. After that, if parents are still interested in being involved, then they can join our proper online school, and that there is a charge for that. Although we are offering a significant discount on that as well. And then you have your activities every morning and your teacher who entertains your child through the day.
Tracy wants to know, Meg, it's easy to keep little ones under 5 busy and entertained. Well, you say so, Tracy. I disagree. trouble comes when they're between 6 and 11. Yes, like, says Tracy. Any advice apart from iPads, etc.? Lego and books only last so long. Do you have any advice for parents over 6? Because that is a tough age group to keep entertained.
Yeah, you know, it's not too different from kids of all ages in that often what we've done is we've kind of taught them to always be entertained. And iPads are a classic example of that. The way that the programs are actually built is to give you a quick fix and to keep you engaged and to also keep you going in one direction. I mean, even something like Minecraft, essentially you're getting your fixes as you go and as you build it. What actually happens with imagination, with creativity, is that it's a blank canvas. It's like having nothing to do, getting bored, and then actually going and investigating and creating something. So my advice to moms of kids of all ages is to try and not be terrified of boredom with your kids. It's okay if they're bored. You don't have to be responsible for keeping them entertained. Right. Give them a box. Like, I mean, the best thing in the whole world is a box, like toilet rolls in a box, because you can build things, you can construct things. So try and give them things that are more open-ended. And, you know, there's a lot of research that actually shows that if we give our children more open-ended activities and engage their imagination more, we're going to end up developing the soft skills for the future. And that's things like creativity.
And they should work. I mean, you know, back in the Victorian times, they would have been in a factory. Fucking complaining. I mean, Lanice, to my point, says, I give my kids chores to help me until 11 in the morning. And then they know that there are no TV, No tablets or any of that stuff until 5 p.m. They had to get creative or we'll clean something again. So that's also,
I love it.
put your children to work.
Exactly.
Yeah. And shouldn't children between 6 and 11 read a little more?
Yeah.
Like, Tracy, yeah, I mean, I don't know you. I know it's a difficult age, but I'm like, between 6, when I was between 6 and 11, and all the kids I know between 6 and 11, they need to read, you know.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and having boundaries in your day, and I love what you just said, like iPads or TV are after 5 o'clock. There's chores until 11. There's some time for reading, and then there's some time for just being bored, like go out and do something creative. Right. And then, you know, so mix up the day a little.
Absolutely.
Run like Bulelo. Because exercise, that's what we don't do. We don't exercise. Bulelo is saying yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Of course, he's been ominously silent during this conversation about children. Courtney says kids are like puppies. You give them an expensive toy and they look for the cardboard box to play with. That's true.
Exactly.
I love what you said there, Meg, about like building things, because I used to have as a kid, there was a set of probably 8 or 9 wooden blocks. We built everything out of those blocks, no matter what other complicated toys we got. And later on, obviously, we started getting, you know, toys that we really wanted instead of ones that our parents thought we wanted. And I'm talking about, you know, going up to sort of age 10, 11. But we still used to use those blocks to build houses for those action figures or whatever else it was. Those were easily the most useful tools we ever had. And they were painted in different colors. But by the time I think my brother reached 10 years old, they looked like they'd been through Afghanistan.
I remember those blocks.
Everything you could build out of those blocks we'd built. And you can use your imagination to make it pretty much anything you want. The toys don't have to be expensive and complex.
Sophisticated.
No. The toys that are currently on the market for kids are actually really not great for long-term life skills, because they're usually things that are unidirectional. There's a cause and there's an effect. And so children can learn that cause and effect very well, but it doesn't open up their imagination. And so we always say to parents in PlaySense, go for the most basic things, the empty boxes and the blocks. I mean, you mentioned it, Gareth. Those are the two things that we recommend that parents actually use, because those things do unleash imagination.
Well, there's that very funny meme that's been going around of that guy who's trying to get the Hisense TV into his Toyota Corolla. And the meme is, you know, that kid obviously when he didn't
play with that, I'm seeing
trying
that.
To get the square into the square and the circle into the circle. And those kinds of toys.
So, Meg, you know, one thing I was just thinking on is that also we always make it about the children. As I'm getting older, I'm getting more grateful for my parents, for what they did. Is also, I'm getting more empathetic, and I'm not naturally an empath for parents, and to tell them that you don't have to be perfect. There's all like Hollywood's putting pressure on parents to be the perfect mom, the perfect dad. It's like, you don't have to be perfect. Your children aren't going to break, by the way, should you have be tough on them. Should you have a tough day? And I know there's so much pressure on parents, especially, especially when you're associating. Oh, did you hear Janet did this? And it's like, who cares who these people are? You don't have to be perfect. You are great as long as you love your kids. And I can only empathize, but I don't know if parents hear that enough, because I would imagine if it's your own kids, you want to be perfect for them. You don't have to be perfect.
The perfect parent, and to have all the resources on hand all the time. You're meant to have endless amounts of money to pay for all the different things it needs to be. You know, you need to be in extra lessons for 5,000 different things. That's making parents extremely unpleasant to be around, because they're trying to live up to a standard that's impossible to reach.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's actually some really good research on that came out like in the mid-1900s that spoke about the good enough mother. That was the term that was phrased. Or the phrase that was termed. And what it really was that if you're good enough, in other words, you have to fail some of the time, and they actually worked it out as a percentage eventually, your children actually grow up better adjusted. They grow up happier children. And what they found was that percentage, I mean, you won't believe this, but you only have to get it right 20% of the time. The other 80%, it can be, it's okay to fail. It's okay to be slightly delayed in getting to your toddler who needs his bum wiped, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, you, the little pieces of delay, little pieces of frustration are very healthy for children. And in actual fact, we now know that those are the things that create resilience, because if everything goes your way, if everything's picture perfect, if your parent is always on the ball and you get everything that you want all the time, you grow up with those expectations for the world, and the world isn't like that, you know. So,
and for yourself, and that is unattainable.
Exactly. And I think this perfect parenting, I mean, you bring it up, it's so true. This perfect parenting is a myth, and it's something that puts so much pressure on moms. And Instagram, I'm sorry to say, does nobody any favors, because you only see the good stuff. You see the picture perfect parenting, and it's not like that.
Yeah. No, it makes it well nigh impossible to live up to any of those standards. So, Meg, this is terrific. How can people get hold of you, and how can they get hold of Playbox? Because this school holiday, what parent isn't going to mortgage the car and the house if they have to keep the children at bay? I mean, what can we do?
Yeah, so the best thing is to go on top our website, which is playsense.org, and have a look for the Playbox on there. It's right up there. You can also go onto our Instagram feed, which is playsense223. It's that's the Instagram handle. It's there. You can order it. There is a link in our link tree. And as I said, if you're immediately into the funnel, you get the little books delivered to you every week with all the activities. There are the boxes. You can buy the stuff, but it's definitely you don't have to buy the stuff. It's most stuff that's found around the house or in a general supermarket. And that's all you need to do. And then from there, we send you every day your routine of which teacher's on at which time, what puppet show is happening, who's doing story time today. And then if you do want something a little more formalized, you can actually join our online groups, which are a whole lot, you know, kind of, then you pay for it and it's a whole lot more formal, but there's no need for that. We really, really, really are just wanting to support parents now.
Well, I think that's terrific. Wow. We will post all the links on cliffcentral.com as well, so that you can get all the help that you need. And Meg, continue please to do the good work that you're doing. You're keeping so many parents sane when they could easily slip into crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the time, Gareth.
Pleasure. Nice to see you. Isn't that cool?
Wow. That's awesome.
That's very cool. That's going to – I think she's creating a space for kids to get less spankings.
Yeah. Well, maybe more, depending. Well. But, I mean, it's great that somebody's thinking about the parents, because I know some of them are on, you know, on the edge of their their sense of sanity and reality.
And it's okay.
It's hard.
Yeah. I love this, though. This Courtney says she's – you know, she was listening to that now. She said, I've been – awake in KZN with gunshots from 1:40 a.m. Cut me some slack. Now, you imagine if you're a parent there, then you've got some fairly pressing issues to worry about.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah. So if you've got questions, you can obviously follow them on social media, and they might be able to help you sort out some things too. So, Shemaine,
when are you guys going to have children? Stop asking me about my life.
whoa.
My plan
is I need to marry a professional athlete, because I need to raise a professional athlete, and that's my retirement plan. So, and they're impossible to find. Most
Williams.
Athletes are busy training. Yeah,
change your surname to Williams.
It's too late. Both are taken. Both are married.
Isn't this an interesting thing? Jawiza says South Africa is in Bastille Day mode, and today happens to be Bastille Day. So happy Bastille Day.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Just, you know, if you're interested. Bastille Day is obviously the day that the revolutionaries in Paris stormed the prison called the Bastille. There's nothing left of it now. You go to the Place de la Bastille and it's like shops and cafes. But it used to be the scene where, you know, many French, mostly political prisoners were kept. At the time they stormed it, by the way, there were only about 3 or 4 people in it. and none of them were particularly well-known prisoners, so it was a bit of a damp squib by the time.
Anticlimax.
Yeah. Yes, anticlimax is exactly right. But there we go. Happy Bastille Day. So to all the French, bon anniversaire, I suppose is the way to say it. All right.
Nice.
What else is going on?
Three French words that you know.
Three French words. That's all I got.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
I know. It's outrageous.
I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
So tell us what else is on your mind. You can get hold of us on the YouTube comments, like so many people already have. This is quite interesting. Bulela's got a story out of China. A guy in China, this is weird. This is absolutely wild. Just to make you think that you're not the only one who's seeing some crazy shit happen in your life at the moment.
A guy had child being taken away as a child, like literally as a small child.
Start that again. You're breaking up really badly. We can't hear you.
So imagine your child being taken away at the age of like 2-3 years old as you're working inside and they're playing in the garden. Seeing them 26 years later being found by the police. 26 what? Years later. Yeah. A father in China found his son that was snatched from the front yard 26 years ago.
And, how did you recognize him?
Well, they were reunited by the police. The case was solved. And interestingly, as I was reading this article, was that it's actually an ongoing thing in China where children get snatched. And it's the article says one of the things is the children will go and be taken to work in a factory in the next province or whatever it may be. Yeah, it's like, and there are hundreds of thousands of dockets, the article says, of these cases that have happened that are unsolved with the police. Isn't that another level?
26 I'm getting chills. Years.
It's incredible, eh?
Well, that's almost as long as Nelson Mandela was in jail. And remember, people even forgot what he looked like. So you imagine as a parent, just the mixed feelings you must have when you suddenly reunited with your kid who you haven't really ever spent any time with because he was two when you last saw him. My God, that's unbelievable.
And those people could only have children once.
Yeah,
that's right. So were you allowed to then have another child because yours is gone? Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's, you know, when people talk about, oh, China's a great place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hear stories like this a little bit more. Your child's abducted to go work in a factory at 2 years old. You know?
But isn't that universal, though? Isn't that what happens universally nowadays with child trafficking, with any kind of trafficking? People just, and I mean, it's been happening forever. Now we highlight it. This shit's been happening for hundreds of years.
I mean, police, the guy on Gossip Girl, it was eating people.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, yeah. No, real thing. The stuff came out about the guy from Gossip Girl who was got caught for the messages about being a cannibal and sending messages to people.
Stop it.
Are we talking about the same guy? Are we not talking about Armie Hammer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, cannibal's a bit strong. Yeah. Him and his. Right.
Yeah.
Stop it. I want to tell you something about the eating of human flesh. I don't even eat, so it's kind of gross.
Stop everything. Stop the
buses. Go on,
there's this guy. There was this Japanese guy who ate different kinds of meat. And he was like, white flesh is very tender, and black flesh is very very tough. It's kind of like tougher to eat. Yeah, so he had different versions of the shit. So I was
I think that's just racism because, as far as I can tell, the muscles are exactly the same.
I don't know. I'm not the one who was eating the meat.
They were eating you. Like to cannibals?
I don't know. All I know is he said,
"What kind of put on a little bit of oregano?"
Yeah, I'll take Italian, but I like it with pepper and a mushroom sauce. Like, I do wonder how
I'd like to eat your liver with a. Some barbecue and a fine brandy.
So, but you guys should look it up. You know, it's like,
oh, that is amazing.
White flesh, tender; black flesh, tougher. Okay. So, hey,
they say that all of us are the other kind of white meat. That we're a lot more like pork than anything else.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've never tried human meat.
No,
I mean just. Looking at a corpse is like already sending me in a direction that you don't want to. Oh, what macabre. This conversation's gone off the rails.
You took it here, Shemaine Harris.
Yeah.
We weren't going in this direction. You brought it to this point. I just want to quickly put up this comment because it's actually a question from Courtney. She says, what's happening in Durban Harbour at the moment? Because there are obviously lots of things happening. And Bev says, Courtney, I don't know. I don't see any smoke from the harbour. But Springfield is still burning.
Jeez.
And that's been going on since Monday. So if you have any information for Courtney about the harbour, please let us know. I saw
maybe
a couple of
videos. Maybe she needs that app that you talked about earlier. Maybe she can find it.
That's actually a good thing to end it on, because we're pretty much out of time for this morning. But the appengine.policylab.app map, which will allow you to see where the unrest is happening. Very, very helpful. And you can go and download the link, which we'll put up on cliffcentral.com. It should be able to help you. Just figure out what's going on where. And please keep yourself out of trouble this morning and for the rest of the day. I don't think that these protests, in inverted commas, these criminals, are going to be able to sustain themselves for much longer than a couple of days. Because just like so many people who are trying to defend themselves against this are exhausted, so are they. So please, halt fussbait in good old South African terms. Fussbait, and we're thinking of you. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. You can go and check out my blog on cliffcentral.com. Get this unrest map so you can see what's going on there too. And we are holding thumbs for you. South Africa is made of good, strong, solid people who stand together in tough times.
Tough times never last.
Only tough people do. Only South Africans do.
Yeah. Remember him.
He's awesome. Jermaine,
lovely to see you again. I hope you're going to keep well, and we'll keep in contact and check in with you again soon.
Yeah, that would be lovely. So it was really great meeting you in Bulelo, and it was good to see you, Gareth. Thank you for the good time. I had a good morning.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.